Have you been struggling to choose what to watch or listen to, and you only want the best? Well, 2SER's entertainment wizard, Wayne Massingham, is back with a scoop on all the best in television, music, and film. It's Wayne's 4x2, four reviews, 2 minutes each. Wayne, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, hi, Jack. How are you going?
Good. How are you this morning?
Yeah, no, pretty good. Just looking forward to the weekend, I guess, and getting out there again. But yeah, no, going well. So yeah, and nice to be called a wizard. I'll take that.
Well, I mean, some of the recommendations you've given over the last few weeks, you know, I've been listening to or watching to nonstop. So wizard of mine.
Oh, that's
Wayne.
Nice to hear.
Well, what's your first recommendation for us this morning?
Okay, well, I'll start off with, I believe, one of the TV events of the year, a show that's been highly acclaimed, and that's Pachinko. This drama, epic drama, I guess you could say, is on Apple TV, 8 episodes in all. Now, this is based on the best-selling, highly acclaimed book by Min Jin Lee, came out about 5 years ago. And it's a Korean-Japanese, family drama spread over 4 generations. It's a historical fiction, but based on real-life experiences. And it sort of goes back and forth over time lines from way back to the 1920s right up to the 1980s. And as I said, 4 generations, mainly looking at Koreans that have emigrated to Japan. I learned a lot from this show, especially back in the 1920s and 30s, how the Japan basically ruled Korea. And I just, as I said, learned a lot from this. And it sort of looks through their struggles as they go to Japan. And I didn't realize how there's a large Korean community in Japan. And even to this day, they're still sort of, I guess, discriminated against, not as badly as they were pre-World War II. But still exists there. So, as I said, it's a very a show that you can actually enjoy on many levels, educational, but also a very emotionally moving show, absolutely beautiful cinematography, and as I said, just really delves into the lives of these people and the struggles, and really, really great show, hits on all areas. Probably the best-known person in the show is Yoon Yoo-jung, I'm sort of pronouncing that correct. She's the great Korean actress, best known for winning an Oscar not too long ago for Minari, and she's wonderful. Right. Her character sort of features in it. So you see the very young version of her, and then the one in the 20s that moves to Japan, and then you see her as she is as an older lady in the 1980s. So this is a beautiful show. It's shown in it's in Japanese and Korean, a little bit of English. Interestingly enough, watching on Apple, the Korean, when they're speaking Korean, it's in a different colour subtitled to Japanese. So you learn a bit like, oh, they're speaking Japanese now, or oh, they're speaking Korean. It's a wonderful show.
Oh, cool.
It works on many levels. So, totally recommend it.
Yeah, I love a good historical drama. That's great. Yeah. I'll definitely check that out. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, really wonderful.
Yeah, well, what's your second recommendation for us?
Okay, well, this is a film, a new Australian film, just opened last week. It's called Blaze. This really great drama, very highly original, highly visually stunning film, is a directorial debut for the great Del Catherine Barton. And why I say great is she is one of Australia's greatest artists. I love her work. She's won 2 Archibald Prizes, just a stunning visual artist. Really unique. And this film, I think, works pretty well. It's about Blaze is like a 12-year-old girl who lives in Sydney with her caring father. And right at the start of the film, she witnesses a brutal rape murder it understandably traumatizes her. It is quite confronting. It's not overly confronting, but like any, I guess, rape scene, it's not going to be gentle viewing. But you see, a lot of the film is from her point of view, and it's really a lot of fantastical imagery in this film, as you'd think from Barton. And Blaze, even before the traumatic episode, she has an imaginary friend, a dragon that lives in her room, and it's one of the most stunning-looking dragons I've ever seen. So this is a really beautiful film. As I said, very visually strong, quite confronting, but still beautifully done, which basically it's about, I guess, handling trauma from an episode, and this is looking at from a 12-year-old girl's point of view.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's the only witness, so she has to go through the courtroom drama. And Julia Savage, I haven't really seen before. She plays Blaze, and she's wonderful. And Simon Baker, a very reliable Australian actor, plays her father.
Right. Yeah. I remember seeing this film at, or trying to see it at the Sydney Film Festival this year, but I missed it. So, that's great. It's great that's in cinema.
It's not showing in many many places in Sydney, and I noticed that for the Dendy screenings this week, it's gone down in number of screens. So, unfortunately, a lot of Australian films don't people don't go along to see them unless they've got big stars in them, like Dry or those sort of films. So, I think it's good to support the local industry, and this is definitely worth looking at because it's a really highly original, very strong piece of work. So, get out there and maybe support an Australian film.
Yeah, support the Australian film, definitely. What's your third recommendation, Wayne?
Okay, well, going back into the TV land with a show called The Offer. This is on Paramount Plus locally, 10 episodes in all. Now, The Offer is basically about the making of the absolute stone-cold masterpiece, The Godfather, from the early 70s. Hopefully, most people have seen this at one point in their lives, considered one of the greatest films of all time. And this is really told from the perspective of the producer, because it's based on his book, Al Ruddy. Al Ruddy was an interesting character. He worked sort of in space technology, I guess you could say, and then he decided to go into producing, and he actually was a producer of Hogan's Heroes, the 60s TV comedy, he wanted to go in, which I didn't know when I was watching the show, and he went from there and then went to Paramount, and he wanted to produce a book. There was a very famous book, The Godfather by Mario Puzo, which became a huge seller. And, he just basically went to Paramount and said, look, I've done this TV. I wanted to have a crack at film. And he went to Robert Evans, who ran Paramount, and he convinced him to be the producer on this film. So it's a really, really interesting behind-the-scenes look at making of an absolute classic. The interesting parts, I guess, are mainly how the mob was involved in it. Because initially they were like, hey, we don't like this Godfather book. It makes us look bad. And there was a lot of controversy from the other crime bosses and the Italian-American community. They didn't want to be seen as all gangsters. But Al Ruddy convinced Joe Colombo, who's one of the heads of one of the mafia families, that it's not about them being gangsters. It's a family drama who happened to be gangsters, which I guess The Godfather essentially was. It was about the Don, played by Marlon Brando, and controlling his family with his son, played by Al Pacino, Michael, his other son, the James Caan character, Sonny. So this is a really great behind-the-scenes look, how Hollywood worked back in those days, how Francis Ford Coppola, how he sort of shot the scenes, how they had to plead to go to Sicily to shoot some important scenes. One of my favourites in this is Matthew Good, the great English actor. He steals the show as the great Bob Evans, who ran Paramount, and he's a larger-than-life character.
Cool.
So he's really good. And Miles Teller plays Al Ruddy. So this is a really, really interesting show. It's a little bit over-the-top in parts, but I think most of it is fairly true to what happened. So, it's a bit of a juicy drama about filmmaking.
And where can we watch this show, Wayne?
That's on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus, right, Plus, cool.
You have to have a subscription to Paramount Plus.
Sounds good. And what's the last recommendation before we head out for the news today, Wayne?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm going to talk about the new album, and I believe it's being played fairly bit on the show.
Yeah.
It's the new album from Julia Jacklin, the much-loved Australian singer-songwriter. It's called Pre-Pleasure, and I think this is getting quite a lot of acclaim, and rightly so. She's one of our most talented singer-songwriters. This is her third album. I sort of thought it's quite a wistful album. It's quite sweet as far as the melodies go, but like most of her albums, it's fairly frank in the lyrical, quite confessional. She sings about her relationship with her mother, about her Catholic upbringing. But musically, I found it just a very wistful, beautiful album to listen to. It's quite upbeat in some sections and more downbeat in others. It was mostly written on keyboard, but when she recorded it, she really went for the whole gamut of the musical palette, and it's really come off really well. It was recorded in Montreal. I found out that her touring band is basically a Canadian band. So she went to Montreal and had it produced there, and the results are really wonderful. It's got a bit of everything, this album, but as I said, it cements her reputation as one of our best talents here.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, you are 100% right that we have been playing it a lot here at the station. So what song are we going to go out on today? What's your recommendation from this new album?
It's I Was Neon, I think, which I think is about the fourth track in. It's my favourite track on the album. I believe it's your favourite, Jack, too.
It is.
And yeah, it's probably the most upbeat song on there. It's just a beautifully constructed pop song. What more can I say? It's just a beautiful one to listen to. So, yeah, highly recommend the album and this song in particular.
Well, I think that is what we're going to go out on today, Wayne. I think you made a very good case for that. And thanks so much for dropping in with all the great reviews. Can't wait to hear from you next week.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. Speak to you later. Bye.
No worries. Bye.